Let's pray. Let's get into the book. We got a lot to cover in just a moment, okay? Father, for the next moment or two, draw in the wanderings of our mind. Help us to be able to focus on you and on your word. Do for us, God, what we're not able to do for ourselves. And then, Father, I pray today if there's one listening to the sound of my voice that's not saved or they're not sure they're saved, I pray this will be the day that they'll search their heart and, God, that they'll be come to that realization they need you as never before. And, God, we'll praise you for every prodigal that returns home and for every Christian that's encouraged. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, if you missed the Sunday school hour, we spent a full hour going through Matthew chapter 24. And it was a launching point of going into the background of where we're located geographically to see this passage come alive. And we illustrated with the sound booth where to be the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. This would be the Kidron Valley. This would be the Mount of Olives. And then this would be the Garden of Gethsemane. This would be the outcropping of rock, what we call the viewing there of the beautiful old city. And so there the disciples encountered Jesus. They talked to him privately, and they asked three prophetic questions. Matthew 24, if you get down into verses 2 and 3, you see what they're saying. They're saying, Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming? How will we know it's the end of time? And how will we know when these events are getting ready to happen? Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of the end of the world? And that's Matthew 24 and 3. And so when we go through there, then Jesus goes down and in verses 4 and 5, he warns them not to be deceived. He said, don't get caught up with people. And we talked about David Koresh. We talked about Jim Jones, people that have deceived publicly hundreds and thousands of people. And then if you go down to verse number 7, the scripture talks about how you're going to know that it's time for the Lord to come back. So if you're making notes today, here's one thing you can write down. Number one, and we're going to hold that verse. We're going to come back to that verse, but just write this down in your notes or in the margin of your Bible. People want to know, what is the purpose of Bible prophecy? Is that something to scare people into being Christians? Is it something frightening that we shouldn't sleep at night? And a lot of times if you say prophecy, we're going to have a prophecy study, people won't even come to church. Because they say, I don't want to know all that spooky stuff and signs and wonders. Well, prophecy is misquoted, misunderstood, misrepresented, probably more than any doctrine in the Bible. The purpose of prophecy can be summarized in one word, comfort. Comfort. That's the whole purpose of prophecy. Because God said, right before the Lord comes back, it's going to get spooky. It's going to get bad. It's going to get where people are going to be worried and anxious. And, we're living to see all of that happening. And God said, if you're a born-again believer, I don't want you to be living in anxiety. I don't want you to be living in stress. I don't want you to stay up and worry all night. If I believe the Lord's coming, we ought to be happy. Right. Every now and then, we ought to let our face smile. Amen. The Lord's coming back. And I believe that. There ought to be the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the church is missing that joy. And the reason we're missing it is we don't really believe He's coming. If you really believe He's coming, you want to live like He's coming, and you want to rejoice in that. So if you write down that word comfort, then that's the whole purpose of prophecy. Here's another fact to write down. 25% of your Bible is prophetic. 1/4 of your Bible is prophecy. So why did God put so much prophecy in it? He wanted you to study it, and He wanted you to be comforted when you see all these things. So what did He put in the Bible? He said, when you see all these things, what things? Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, heartache, sorrow, the tragedy in Texas. He said, when you see all these things, there's a day coming that's not going to happen. But he said, when you see all these things, what? He said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Let there be a joy knowing that there's a king coming and he's returning. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, Pastor, he said something else. He said, when you see all these things, forsake not the assembling of yourself together.
That's right.
He said, go to church more, not less. So we need to, why? I need to be in the Word. The teens are headed to Pensacola, and they're going to camp. Well, they're going to get the Word every single day. They're going to have fun. They're going to have fellowship, but they're going to get a boost. Why do we do that in the summertime? Because they've got to go back to the school in the fall. And they're going to get the world, the saturation hitting them. And so we try to give them some spiritual vitamins and strength to get ready that they can take that what's coming in the fall of the year, that they'll be able to be living in their faith, still be happy, still be normal, still be a happy teenager, but yet they know what they believe and why they believe it. So that's the second thing. Number three. If I know and understand my Bible, not only is it for comfort, not only did God put it in His Word, 25%, but then it'll produce a revival. And the revival is a three-part revival. Here it is, part number one. If I really believe the Lord's coming, I'm going to get right with the Lord. If you believe He's coming, do you want to be right with the Lord? Because if I could prove to you, if I could take my computers and all my maps and charts, put it up there, and I say, the Lord's coming at midnight tonight, wouldn't you want to go, time out, I want to pray. Anybody want to pray for the Lord God here? I know I would. Because, why? Because you always want, if you're going to meet a holy God, you want to be right. All right, number two, if I believe the Lord's coming, then I want to be right with my fellow man. Where does that start? I want to be right with my spouse, my husband, my wife. I want to have that, that there's nothing between. I want to be right with my children. And I want to be right with my parents. It's easy to have hard feelings in the house. And what did Justin say a minute ago? He said before the Lord entered in, they were strangers in the house. You know, they were living in the same domicile, but they weren't family. And you can be in the house married, but your hearts aren't married. And what makes them married is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we love the Lord, we love each other. Number three, if I believe the Lord's coming and He could come today, I don't want to leave anybody I love behind. If it's this bad now, what's it going to be when the Holy Spirit is restrained and men are left to their own devices? You can't imagine that kind of world. And so if I really believe that, then I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to witness to people. And, you know, you don't have to hit them in the head with your Bible. The best way to share your faith is to show somebody you care about them. And while they're understanding you care, then you get to tell them. At the Sunday School Hour, we got to share all the videos from the Bedouin children and from the abandoned children there in Bethlehem and a sports center there in Jerusalem. Why do we go to all that trouble? We want their parents to know we care. And they'll say, why do you care? And then we get to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they allow us to give the children coloring books. Well, what are our coloring books? They're the life story of Jesus. That they begin to understand that there was a Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how many of you today have access to Facebook? You have Facebook. How many have YouTube? You can access YouTube, okay? So, I had a bunch of questions at the back, and I can't get to all of them today. But if you'll go to Facebook and be our friend, that changes the algorithm of the website. And if you'll go to YouTube and subscribe, Ralph Sexton Ministries YouTube and subscribe, it changes the algorithm. So what am I talking about? When people are looking for what's going on in the world, or they type in Israel, or they type in end of times, it will let our website pop up. They may not ever go to church. So You remember after October 7th, the Israelis invited me back to Israel, and I got to go to southern Israel and to Gaza. I've been over there a lot of times, but that's the first time I had to wear a ballistic helmet and a bulletproof vest. Just the vest alone weighed about 45 pounds. And so I'm in that war zone, and I didn't want to hear what somebody said. I wanted to see. I walked through the houses. I saw where the hand grenades blew up. I saw the man that was taking me through. He showed me. He said, the blood on that wall, that's where they shot my dad. We went to another house where they killed his grandmother and set her on fire. And there's the ashes. And so this is not what you hear, it's what you see. But we're not getting the other side of the equation on the American news. So we made a documentary there. It's called Massacre of My People. Massacre of My People. So go to YouTube and you can watch it. You need to fix you a cup of coffee or hot tea, because it's the longest thing I have up, because I didn't want to interrupt the flow. I went down to the music festival where they killed all the kids, and I'd show you the cars that were abandoned on the road. I show you where the kids are, and I take you through the houses. And so Ralph Sexton Ministries YouTube, Massacre of My People. But today we're celebrating God and country. We're celebrating America. Well, on YouTube, I've got this illustrated message, Why Has God Blessed America? Why has God blessed America? So a precious lady was asking me a moment ago at the table, well, why does God allow the Jews to be hurt so much? Why did God allow them to be suffer so much? Well, in this video, Why Has God Blessed America?, I tackle that problem. And I actually illustrate what I told you at the Sunday school hour about General Titus and the Roman army. So I got illustrations. I walk you through that. And then I take you to Rome, Italy, and I show you the Arch of Titus. And I document the looting of the temple. But then I introduce you to this man, and his name is Chaim, C-H-A-I-M, Chaim Solomon. And Chaim Solomon was a Jewish businessman when America was getting ready to start the Revolutionary War. And his family had fled from the persecution of Portugal and Spain, and the whole history from 70 AD all the way up to the birth of America. Jews were scattered by the Romans around the world, and they were persecuted. And his family was persecuted. And they came to America. And I won't take time to go all the way through it with you, but he was a blessed businessman. He was a broker of bonds between France and Germany, the young colonies, the trade zones. And he found out, Pastor, that they were going to shut America down and put them back under the European laws. They were going to go back under England. And that's where they had fled, was the persecution. So what he did is he threw his support. He found out there was a secret group of businessmen and leaders meeting. You might have heard of them, the Sons of Liberty. The Sons of Liberty. And he went to their meeting and he joined with them. He got put in prison twice. And you remember we had a famous American patriot said, give me liberty. Or give me death, Patrick Henry. And Chaim Solomon was in the same cell with him. They were there together. And Chaim was to be executed the next morning. And when they was getting ready to take him out to execute him, they came in and said, your appeal's been dissolved. They're going to hang you in the morning. He sat and we was reflecting in that cell. And he said, I wish I could remember what my mama told me. My mama would always comfort me when I was scared or when there was a bad storm. And she would sing a song to me or quote a psalm. And Patrick Henry said, well, do you remember how it went? And Chaim said, no, I don't. But it sounded like something about a shepherd and that the shepherd would watch over the sheep. And Patrick Henry said to him, Well, did it sound like this? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, yes, yes, that's it. And Patrick Henry quoted it all to him. And they said that Higham had tears on his cheeks as he was comforted by that man. And when that man got up, he walked away and he had taken a rock and he had written on the wall behind where he was sitting, give me liberty or give me death. Well, that night, the night before he was to be killed, you know, you didn't have ATM machines. You didn't have banks like we do now, write a check. If you traveled, you would sew a silver doubloon or a gold coin in the lining of your cloak, your coat. And when he sat back down that night, he did like that in desperation to pull his coat around him. And he found at the back there was one coin, and he opened the seam and it was a gold coin. And he thought, I'm going to try something. And he went to the jailer at the window. Everybody's asleep. He motioned for him. And he said, do you know who I am? He said, yeah, I know you. And he said, everybody knows you. You're a businessman here. And he said, well, they're going to hang me in the morning. And he said, I'd like to go tell my wife goodbye. I'd like to tell my children goodbye. If I give you this gold coin, could you let me go tell them bye? And you know where I live. You can get me in the morning, but you'll have this gold coin. And he said, yeah. And he took the bribe, he opened the jail, and he let Higham out. And you know what Higham did at daylight? He cleaned out all of his bank accounts. He got all his gold. He got all of his silver. He sold all of his brokerage house to another businessman. And he took all the money and he gave it to the Secretary of Finance, to George Washington, because the army was broke and George Washington had been praying over at Valley Forge. You know that picture of him praying? He was praying. They were out of money, they were out of food, they were out of supplies. And this Jewish businessman was God's answer to prayer. And Higham Richmond saved America, a Jew. And here we are today celebrating almost our 250th birthday, because a Jewish man was tender to the leadership of a holy God. Higham Solomon lost everything. He gave his wealth, everything. He lost it all. George Washington met with him after the war and he said, you financed us, you saved us. He said, what can I give you in return? And Higham said, George told him, he said, it may be 10 years, it may be 20 years, because the amount of money, it would be billions in today's dollars, because he gave him the money to finish up the war. And he said, if you'll just remember my people. And I've got a whole video with the illustrations on it on that YouTube website. You have a dollar in your pocket? Pull out a dollar. And on the back of that dollar bill, you'll see where George Washington kept his promise. And here's the great seal of the United States on the back of the dollar. And above there are those stars. And those stars make the Star of David. And every American dollar to this day has the Star of David on it, where George Washington kept his promise to Higham Solomon, that I'll never forget your people that saved America. And how did America get blessed? Because for 400 years, we were the modern day Israel until May 14, 1948, when God reached down, hit the pendulum, and started bringing the Jews back home for the countdown of the coming of the Lord. And you're the people that are living in a free land, in a free country, with that blessing on it. I've got pictures that I could show you this morning, and I guess we'll just have to try to get it tonight. I want to tell you what the rabbi told me out of the book of Ezra and out of the book of Isaiah about your president, Donald Trump. And I'll do that at 5 o'clock, not political. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. This is all religious, what they're saying I thought we would have time to get to it, but I wanted to make that connection for you, how a Jew saved America, but America saved the Jew. And that's where God blessed America. We never could figure out of all the countries in the world, why did God bless our country? Oh, because we followed Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Word of God says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And you remember who cursed them? There it is on your screen. You see it? I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. And do you remember right before the Balfour Treaty of 1917, you remember your world history, and the Jews were going to be given a nation. And finally, at the end of the Second World War, they were given a part of the Middle East. They divided it up between France and England. And what did they do? And the assignment they gave was they gave a tribe there called the Hashemite Kingdom, and they gave them a piece of real estate that's now the modern nation of Jordan. And then they gave the Jews another piece of real estate, and that's the modern day of Israel, modern land of Israel. And that was in 1948. And from the 70 AD, the scattering of the Jews, they had no home. But God allowed America, from the time that they landed on Plymouth Rock until 1948, for 400 years, we were the temporary Israel, the Jews. Did you know when Israel became a nation, and up until just a few years ago, there were more Jews in Brooklyn, New York than in the nation of Israel. We had more Jews living in America than in the whole nation of Israel. And God said, I'll bless them that bless thee. And without realizing it, without even lost people understanding it, because we were kind and because anybody could come to America and find a place, God blessed our nation. And tonight I'm going to show you a document from Israel, and I'll show it to you what they're saying about your president. Here's his picture in there, and I'll show you this is from a Jewish organization. This is not a church publication. And then I'll show you the third temple coin that you can make a picture of it, and I'll bring it to the service tonight. But we are blessed to have a land that's free. And God said in His precious word, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you're living to see it. I'm living to see it. And another lady asked me, why do the Jews go through such hard things and hard places? And it's because God allowed them to be the illustration of grace and mercy to lost mankind. Let's pray together. Pastor will come and close, and then I'll mention something for your consideration at the end. If you're here today and you don't have peace or assurance of your salvation, I don't want you to go home without the Lord. If you're here today and you've gotten away from the Lord, boy, it's a great day to get right. And if you're here today, you've been discouraged, worried, frustrated about what's going on in the world and your country, I want you to be encouraged. Jesus is coming. There's going to be a great movement, and we're going to see more than ever that the Word of God is prophetic and true. In the next 48 hours, you're going to see biblical proof that your Bible is alive and well. So, Father, I pray right now for those that are waiting and those that are listening. I pray You'd speak to their hearts as only You can do. With heads bowed and hearts tender, is there one to say, Pastor Ralph, I'm not sure of my salvation. I'm not sure. I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you. I just want to be able to pray for you. Would you just slip that hand up for prayer? Let me have a prayer for you. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. No one will embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, ma'am. Is there another one anywhere? God bless you. Is there one to say, Brother Ralph, I believe I've been saved, but I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm out of faith and I'm out of fellowship. And I need to get right with the Lord. I know the Lord's coming. I believe that. But I need to get back in full fellowship. Would you slip that hand up for prayer? God bless you. Just put that hand up. God's speaking to your heart. How many Christians say, Brother Ralph, I know I'm saved. I'm trying to serve the Lord. But you're right. It's been a difficult time to try to read the Bible, time to pray. Well, I want to see that personal revival in my own heart and life. I want God to give me fresh oil. Would you slip your hand up with mine? How many more? God bless you. Multitude of hands. Father, you see the hands and you know the heart. I pray you do that mighty work today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.